Windows or doors sticking? Cracks in your drywall or brickwork? These can be signs of a structural foundation problem. PermaSeal can help with that. Free inspections, transferable warranties, financing, and peace of mind. PermaSeal, 800-421-7325 or permaseal.net.
The game is in the books, and the Flight by Yuengling Chicago Blackhawks Radio postgame show is on the air on the Blackhawks Radio Network.
Welcome to the Flight by Yuengling Chicago Blackhawks Radio postgame show. Charlie Romeliotis here at the United Center, where the Blackhawks were whitewashed against the Detroit Red Wings 4-0 here at the United Center. And it was their first game without Connor Bedard, who suffered an injury last night in St. Louis in the final second of the game. The Blackhawks get shut out in their first game without him, and they certainly missed number 98, as I bring in Steve Conroy to help me break down this game. Steve, it's you just mentioned, you were talking with John right now about the Hawks needing to find a way to generate offense and win hockey games without Connor Bedard, and this was kind of this was their first test at it, and unfortunately they failed, but it's going to be a learning curve for this young Blackhawks team to figure out how to generate offense without their prized scorer.
Yeah, I think that's the key there, is to figure out how to generate offense, because he is a unique player. He's one of the top players in the NHL, and he can turn something out of nothing, and he can manufacture offense out of thin air. So they've got to find a way to maybe live without him for a little bit here. I don't know how long he'll be out of the lineup. It sounds like he won't be going on this Canadian road trip, so it'll be at least another 3, possibly 4 more games. And typically the way you do it is to play, you know, kind of a grinding game, kind of an ugly game, and you're getting goals, you know, greasy goals, they call them, you know, in front of the net, battles, second and third opportunities. They're not going to be tic-tac-toe plays, and, you know, I didn't really see a lot of that in tonight's game. I think they were overpassing the puck, if anything, and you can't try and play that game when you don't have, you know, one of the game's top five players in your lineup. So the other thing that was a little concerning, I looked after a couple of periods, and our top line tonight would have been Nazar and Bertuzzi and Burakovsky. After 40 minutes, they only had 2 shots between the 3 guys, and I think they might have fared a little better in the third period, but you got to get more out of your top guns, and I think they'd be the first to tell you that, you know, we can play better. All of those guys would say that we can play better. So, on all that being said, again, it's a young team, a learning experience for them. They'll try to learn from this, and then, you know, go about, you know, generating offense maybe in a little different way than what they had with Connor Bedard in the lineup.
I thought you brought up a great point in the pregame show when we were talking about a team that is without their franchise cornerstone, whether it's any team in the NHL, where when you have that massive void in the lineup, everyone has to get like 10% better, and you almost next man up mentality, sure, but it's also like somebody has to step up on any given night. Like, it's going to have to be a committee approach. Mm-hmm. And so you mentioned Frank Nazar. He's probably a guy that's going to have to step up on even further than he already has. Obviously, he was great in that first month of the season, got injured. He's been really battling through the injury, although I think he has started to look more like himself the last 4 or 5 games. It was really since that Vegas game, Steve, that I thought Nazar looked more like himself. And so I think there's going to be some extra motivation for a guy like Nazar and some of these other younger players to step up in the absence of Connor Bedard.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. We were in Anaheim not too long ago, and I got to talk to some of the people associated with that organization, and they mentioned the fact that it was like a different person every night. It's not always the Leo Carlsons, the Beckett Senecas, the Olin Zellwiggers on defense. It was like a different person, whether it was, you know, Trouba and Kreider have been contributing. They get contributions up and down the lineup. So I think that's A, what you got to look for when you're out without a guy like Connor Bedard. And then B, you maybe have to change the style of play just a little bit. And you've got to, you know, I think Tyler Bertuzzi is totally built for those greasy goals. And that's how he scored the majority of his goals this year. You know, battles in front of the net, you know, pucks going in off his skate, off his butt, off his shin pads. Those are the types of goals you're going to need. So, they're going to have to dig down, because they are without, you know, one of the top 3-4 players in the NHL, but they can't do it themselves. And they've got to realize it's like, as you mentioned, it's by committee. Everyone get a little bit better. Let's play better defensively. Like, maybe we've lost a goal per game out of our lineup, and that's basically what Connor Bedard was contributing point-wise. It was at least a goal per game. So let's make sure, you know, the other team's not scoring the first goal. They're not getting a couple in the first 5 minutes, whatever it was tonight. And we're not playing from behind, because that's always an uphill battle, especially with a young team. So get better defensively. Let's find some greasy goals, and then let's shut other teams down. You know, let's grind out a win, and you know they're capable of doing that. And with the goaltending, and I'm not blaming Arvid Soderblom tonight whatsoever, but they've had great goaltending all year, and Spencer Knight can win games by himself. So you got to find out how to win those 2-1, maybe 3-2 games, because you're not going to be scoring 4 and 5 goals a night without Connor Bedard.
The Blackhawks did bring up some reinforcements from Rockford to help offensively with the void of Connor Bedard, and calling up Nick Lardis for this game, making his NHL debut. Steve, I thought he was one of the more noticeable players in this game for the Blackhawks. He ends up with eight shot attempts, two of them on net. Feels like four or five of them were shots on goal, but I digress on that. He also registers 5 hits in the game. So what did you think of Lardis in his first game with the Blackhawks, but also maybe I'm sure there was psychological pressure to want to step up and fill the void of Connor Bedard, and he did not look uncomfortable at all in this game.
No, the moment wasn't too big for him. That sometimes happens with guys coming up, especially if you take a star player out of the lineup. I think he handled himself perfectly, and it's a perfect scouting report on him. I noticed his physicality. I noticed the shooting ability and the fact that he was willing to stick his nose in there. So those are all things I'm sure the coaching staff is going to be really impressed with and happy about. Sure, he's got to learn some of the systems, and there's little nuances with the Blackhawks, the way they defend inside their own zone, the way they break out. He'll get used to that. He'll get his reps in. He'll get his practices. But there's nothing like a game situation, and I thought he, you know, he served himself very well. He didn't look out of place. I was a little concerned about his size, but he has worked on his strength, and I think he's gained a little bit of weight from last year. He fit right in. So, you know, keep playing like that, and you're going to score. He was one of the few guys who not only, A, was willing to shoot the puck, but, B, was getting it on net. And I mentioned it in our post-game comments with John. I'd love to see what the missed shots are. Tell me what the missed shots are, because, you know, I know in that one power play, we had 4 missed shots on the same power play, and that just kills your power play. You cannot have that. You've got to hit the net. It doesn't have to be the hardest shot in the world. Just get it on net, because it's the second and third opportunity. How many missed shots did we have?
Hawks had 18 missed shots, 23 blocked, and then 27 hit the net.
Yeah.
So well more than 50% were either blocked or missed the net.
So it's 41 that were either blocked or, so, you know, sometimes you've got to readjust, and you got to take just a little bit off your shot maybe to get it by the guy. And you also have to make sure you're hitting the net, and especially on the power play, because you miss the net, especially from an angle, it's probably going to rim and go down the ice, and you got to try and remake the blue line. And that's an area the Blackhawks, I know a couple of the power plays, they had problems gaining entry into the offensive zone, and that's where Connor Bedard obviously helps, and that's where they kind of missed him tonight.
Well, even on that first power play, like you mentioned, on the Blackhawks had 6 shot attempts on the first power play of the game. 0 of them hit the net. So they had no shots on goal, 6 shot attempts. And so I even think Donato had 4 of those shot attempts. And so, that's one of those things, too. But I did like, sticking on the Lardis theme really quick, I did like that he had a shooting mentality on the power play, because I feel like maybe in that role, he was on the first unit in a spot where Connor Bedard usually is at the right faceoff circle. So there could be a tendency for a young player that gets that responsibility to just want to get it to other players. But boy, he was not timid. I feel like maybe almost half of his 8 shot attempts that he took in this game might have come on the power play.
Well, here's the difference between him and Connor, because you're right. They line up in the same spot on that, you know, that right faceoff circle, but he's a left shot, so he's in a one-timer position. So that's a little easier for him to get it off when he gets the puck, especially if it's in his wheelhouse. With Connor swings up a little higher, and then he's skating downhill, and now he's still a threat to shoot, but he's also a threat to pass. So it's funny how the power play just seemed to get so much better when Connor Bedard and the coaching staff made that switch to have him set up on the right side of the ice, his strong side, as opposed to the left side, which was his one-time side. But Nick Lardis, that's what you want to see from the kid. And I'll tell you why. And, you know, you said, I'm sure he had more shots. He had a couple of shots, but I'm glad the statisticians did this. A couple of those shots were missing the net, but John Gibson made the glove save. So had he not made the glove save, it would have went wide. So I think that's why some of those shots didn't register as shots.
But doesn't it technically should count as a shot on goal because it's a save by the goaltender, right?
Yes and no. If he lets it go, it's probably hitting the side of the net. So, yeah. You know, I think, you know, maybe I'm making excuses for those guys, but I think that's their frame of reference.
I'd be remiss not to mention Patrick Kane in this game. Finishes with a goal and an assist. Career goal number 498. Mm-hmm. And he got it pretty early in the game. It was about 4.5 minutes. 4:35 into the game, and boy, he had some jump tonight. And usually we've seen this here when he was in Chicago for a decade and a half. When he scores a goal early, he's just got the wheels moving the rest of the night. And he had 6 shot attempts in the first period alone, 4 shots on goal. Kind of cooled off in the second and third periods, but you mentioned on the broadcast and the empty net opportunity that DeBrincat tried getting it to Kane, and obviously it got intercepted. I looked at the Detroit's bench, and Todd McClellan started banging on the boards like shoot the puck. And yeah. So obviously you knew what Alex was trying to do, get Kane number 499 here on home ice. But
and saw what he did the next time.
He looked up. He's like, all right, I guess I'm gonna have to shoot. And DeBrincat looked really disappointed when he scored. Like he scored, and then he like skated away. Like he was disappointed he couldn't get Kane the puck. But. Yeah. Those two were so magical here in Chicago for a few years together. Kane still looks like Showtime. When the bright lights are brightest, he shines. And so no surprise that he was one of the better players on the ice for Detroit.
It's funny how you talked about that, the juice. Patrick Kane, we covered him for, you know, literally 12, 13 years here in Chicago. He's like a shark that smells blood. When he scores a goal or makes a good play or gets an assist, and remember, he assisted on the first goal of the game, literally 30 seconds in on the DeBrincat. That was a great play to DeBrincat. He got the primary assist. Now all of a sudden he's starting to feel it. And then, you know, a couple shifts later he scores. And now he's got some jump. He's got some juice. And we've come to expect that from Patrick Kane. There's certain superstar players that, you know, they're built to perform, as you mentioned, when the lights are brightest. And Michael Jordan comes to mind because we watched him here in Chicago, and there was never a moment too big for him. And he always seemed to be the guy. You wanted him to have the ball when the game was on the line. You want Patrick Kane to have the puck when the game's on the line. And he wanted the puck tonight. And it's great to see because he's got to be, 37
now? Yeah.
37 years of age. Great to see. And what I was impressed with tonight, and, you know, maybe he didn't do this as much in Chicago because he had a deeper team, but he was back-checking really hard. And he was coming back on every play. He didn't always do that in Chicago. He didn't always have to do that in Chicago. And a lot of times a puck would get turned over, and, oh, yeah, Patrick Kane was in behind everyone because he was coming back slow, and he'd be in on a breakaway the other way. So, yeah, it's good to see how he's evolved. He's changed his game, but he's still Showtime.
And he improves to 3-0 now as a visitor here at the United Center. You were mentioning earlier because he was saluting the Chicago crowd. He did that in the first game, obviously, when he scored the overtime winner on Chris Chelios' night. But then he did it in the second game as well when they came back the year after.
So now it's superstition?
So now it's maybe just superstition. Now every time he gets a win, he's saluting the crowd. And no surprise, again, that he is Showtime here at the United Center. But, so now I want to see what he does if the Hawks beat him here at the United Center. Will he still do that?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Good question. Hey, listen, but before we wrap it up, I just Detroit. You don't think of the Detroit Red Wings and their defense, but Moritz Seider is a top 5, maybe top 10 defenseman in the entire NHL. He pulls down, I think, the 5th most minutes of any defenseman. But when you look at his numbers, he plays a different game than a Cale Makar or a Quinn Hughes. Those guys are skaters, they're puck movers. This guy's a skater and a puck mover, but he's a physical body out there, and those minutes are tougher than Cale Makar minutes and Quinn Hughes minutes. I thought Simon Edvinson was absolutely fantastic tonight. Here's a guy who's 6'6", 225 pounds. He played with Elmer Soderblom, Arvid's brother, in Frölunda in Sweden, and he developed his game there. I thought he was really, really good, as was Sandin Pelikka. So, you know, Steve Yzerman's done a good job with his team. They were much maligned, the goaltending. John Gibson comes in, and he's done a real good job so far for them. They're in a playoff spot. And I think the defense, they might not be household names besides Moritz Seider, but they were very effective tonight.
I remember in some of the drafts for Detroit, some of the recent drafts, anytime they're up, they make a selection, and it doesn't draw a huge ooh and ah from the crowd.
It's like, who's this guy?
Like, who is this guy? Yeah. And then years later, you're like, oh, Moritz Seider. That guy's a stud. Mm-hmm. I remember everyone at the time thought Moritz Seider was a reach when Detroit took him. I think it was sixth overall.
It was sixth, yeah.
And I mean, Moritz Seider was projected to go in the mid-range of that first round.
Yeah.
Steve Yzerman ends up taking him at sixth overall. Everyone's saying, oh, that's a reach, whatever. And then you go look at the players around that range, and you're like, boy, I would take Moritz Seider over all those guys. And so... Yeah. Credit to Steve Yzerman for the way he's built his back end.
He's got some help overseas. A young man named Nick Lidstrom who helps out still with the Detroit Red Wings, and he knows hockey. I played with Nick in Detroit, and one of the best defensemen you'll ever see, and he knows what it takes. And that's why they went off the board to get Seider, and boy, he's paying dividends right now.
Steve, great job as always. You're going to be sliding in to do TV on Tuesday in Toronto. That's correct?
I am, but I'm looking forward to you coming on the road because I hear you're a crazy man.
That is quite the opposite. I actually think we'll be sitting next to each other on the plane, that means, because usually I sit next to Panger.
Oh, good.
Well, it's Troy sits next to Panger.
There you go.
So I'm sitting in Troy's seat.
Good.
Next to Panger. So now I get to bug you the entire trip.
You certainly can. Just bring some peanut butter sandwiches and we'll be okay.
All right, excellent. The Hawks shut out by the Detroit Red Wings 4-0 here at the United Center. That was Patrick Kane scoring one of the four goals for Detroit, also setting up Alex DeBrincat's goal earlier in the period. So he finished with a goal and assist for 2 points, plus three rating. Eight shot attempts, five shots on goal led the Red Wings in that department. And want to say something really quick about Patrick Kane. I know he's likely not going to be on Team USA's Olympic roster, but man, I wish Showtime would be on representing Team USA, because feels like, I think he recently told the NHL.com that an Olympic gold for Team USA is really the last thing that he hasn't accomplished in his hockey career that he would really love. And so I would love Patrick Kane to be on Team USA. It doesn't sound like he's going to be on the roster, but he delivered in the game for Detroit in this one. You know who also delivered in this game for the Blackhawks, at least just from my eye test, is Nick Lardis in his NHL debut. Let's hear what Nick had to say after this one.
That live up to expectations for you as part of the first night with?
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty special, obviously, playing against Detroit. You know, Patty Kane in the building, that was pretty special. So, yeah, I mean, it was a lot of fun. Didn't get a lot of sleep last night, but, yeah, it was pretty special.
How high-tech was the call?
Yeah, I got a call on the bus. We were heading to Grand Rapids yesterday night, and we were about 15 minutes out. Got a call, so we had to turn the buses back around. But, yeah, it was pretty crazy. Drove in here pretty late last night, didn't go to bed until, I don't know, like 3-4 a.m. So hard to sleep, but it was a cool memory for sure.
Was it nice having some familiarity with guys that you played with in Rockford?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Morrissey, all those guys, even just playing with these guys in training camp in a couple preseason games, it's nice to build a little chemistry and comfortability with all these guys too, so it was awesome.
What did it say about the confidence the coach had in you to put you in key situations?
Yeah, I mean, it was awesome. Builds a lot of confidence for sure in my game, especially, first NHL game, getting those looks and opportunities. It's awesome. Builds a lot of confidence going forward, so, yeah.
Was there anything different than you expected?
I don't know, kind of just everything. I was just in a blur, honestly. Can't really remember too much, but, I mean, the pace is really fast. Obviously, playing against, guys like Kane, DeBrincat, it's... You're in awe the first couple of shifts, kind of watching them. But as the game goes on, you kind of settle in. So, yeah.
All right, that was Blackhawks rookie forward Nick Lardis, who was called up before the game to help provide an offensive boost for the Blackhawks, who were without Connor Bedard after he suffered an apparent shoulder injury last night. Lardis skated on a line with Oliver Moore and Ryan Green. And what's funny about this, or kind of ironic, is that this was probably going to be a line for the Rockford IceHogs at the start of the season, but Ryan Green ends up getting the call right before opening night for the Blackhawks because Landon Slaggart suffered an injury. And then Oliver Moore and Nick Lardist remained in Rockford. They played on the line together with the Ice Hogs. And now, 2 months later, all three of them are skating on a line together with Chicago. And so just an interesting situation. I like the decision to put Moore and Lardist together because they had that built-in chemistry from the Ice Hogs. And they just both have they play with a lot of pace. Particularly more, but Nick Lardis, he is faster than we think. Like, he gets a lot of praise for his goal scoring ability and his shot, but boy, he can really skate out there too. So he was really fun to watch. Again, I thought he was one of the better players for the Blackhawks in this game. Ryan Donato, he also I thought he was noticeable in this game. He did have four shot attempts. Well, the NHL score sheet is saying three. I counted four on one power play. But let's hear what Ryan had to say following this 4-0 loss to Detroit.
Up tonight, where do you go from here?
Just get ready for the next one. I think, obviously it was tough, not the way we wanted it to go tonight, but, you know, it's an everyday league. We got to be ready for practice Monday, have a good hard practice, and, you know, be ready for that that road trip we got coming up.
Kind of a weird dynamic playing Kane in this building where he's comfortable here, the fans like him, but yet he's on the opposing side.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's definitely strange, but, you know, if you're a guy that, you know, that's had such an impact on a city like this, you know, he's going to have those type of games where you hear cheers for him scoring and that kind of stuff. It's obviously a crazy talent, and it's cool to play against him and that kind of stuff. But at the same time, it's something you want to, you know, see as little as possible on the other side of it. So, yeah.
Do you feel like you guys need to adapt at all about Conrad?
I just think it's just time for guys to step up and create more. I think obviously he's been, you know, phenomenal for us this year, and it's going to be a huge piece missing. But, you know, I think, you know, it's about the next guy stepping up. There's teams that go through injury problems that happens. It's a part of it, and, you know, hopefully. I think we just, you know, it's the next man up kind of reputation of, you know, you see teams have, and I think that's something we have to adapt to, yeah, sure.
Is the case at all of trying to force it a little bit more tonight than?
No, I mean, I think we got to continue to create and just finish our chances. I think we had some chances there in the third, and, you know, we just got to bear down, get some traffic in front, and, you know, the typical things you hear guys say, but it's true.
Yeah. What do you think of Nick in his debut?
He was awesome. I think there's some plays that he made that were definitely, you know, high-end plays. You can see that he sees the game very well, and he's obviously got that shot too, and you saw it at times, and, you know, it's his first game. It's definitely very hard to, you know, show everything you got in one game, but I think he did a great job tonight, and, you know, I think that he has a lot to a big future ahead of him, and it's fun to be a part of and see it for the first time. Yeah.
All right, that was Blackhawks forward Ryan Donato. Great question by Scott Power is asking the Blackhawks and Ryan about whether or not they're going to have to change their style of game moving forward without Connor Bedard. And obviously the Blackhawks have been able to outscore some of their problems this year, and they've gotten terrific goaltending as well, but they might have to resort to more of a defensive type team in the short term while they figure out the timeline for Connor Bedard moving forward. Final day of the second chapter, the Madhouse chapter for the Blackhawks in their centennial season. So, unfortunately, they weren't able to pick up 2 points in this one, but it was a very memorable night at the United Center, tapping back into going back into the 60s and the 70s. Wayne Mesmer sang the national anthem in this game. Frank Pellico was on the organ. They had the digital, or the kind of like the old school scoreboard. So it was a really cool environment here at the United Center today. Time now for our look at the Ice Times, sponsored by Rogers and Hollins, the most trusted jewelry store in America for more than 115 years. The Blackhawks were led by Artem Levchinov at 23 minutes and 59 seconds of ice time. He was the only player on the team that logged north of 20 minutes. So he was far and away the leader for the Blackhawks. Looking at who was even the next closest, it looked like it's Matt Grizzlick, his D partner, at 1939. So Artem Levchinov leading the way for the Blackhawks in that department. I'm going to rearrange some things in this postgame show. We're going to do a quick Blackhawks prospect update. Let's check in on our next generation of players, sponsored by Flight by Yingling, the next generation of light beer. the Rockford Ice Hogs, as you heard Nick Lardis say, they had to turn their bus around on their way to Grand Rapids last night because Lardis ended up getting the call, so he didn't go to bed until 4 in the morning. And so the Rockford Ice Hogs were in Grand Rapids today. They unfortunately fell 1-0 in a shutout loss for the Rockford Ice Hogs. But Sam Renzel made his Rockford Ice Hogs debut on Wednesday night, picked up 2 assists, and then he added 2 more assists on Friday night. So he has 4 assists in his first 2 games. Obviously held off the score sheet in the game tonight, as was the entire Rockford Ice Hogs roster. And he's been playing on the second pairing with Nolan Allen. So something to monitor as Sam Renzel tries to regain his confidence down in the AHL. The Blackhawks whitewashed against the Detroit Red Wings 4-0. This was the third time the Blackhawks played the second of a back-to-back this year, and they are now 0-3-0 in those 3 games, and they're being outscored 20-4 over that stretch. So clearly the second of a back-to-back is an area of struggle for Chicago this season. Let's do a quick next game preview sponsored by Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. The Blackhawks are going to kick off a 3-game road trip on Tuesday against the Toronto Maple Leafs. It's a 6:00 puck drop Chicago time. It's going to be Toronto, Montreal, Ottawa for the Blackhawks. Unfortunately, it does not sound like Connor Bedard is going to be on that 3-game road trip for the Blackhawks, and so they're going to have to find a way to move forward without him for the foreseeable future. Toronto, they're without Anthony Stolarz and Joseph Woll, so they're down to their third and fourth string goaltenders, but they're also, they got a lot of injuries that they've been piling up on the back end, so they're not going to be at full strength. They have been playing a little bit better as of late. The Hawks ended up beating Toronto 3-2 on November 15th in the matchup at the UC, but the Blackhawks did not have Dickinson or Bertuzzi in that game, so the Hawks are going in with both of those players back, but without Connor Bedard, so we'll see how they fare on the road, but that starts in Toronto. All right, we're winding down here on the Blackhawks post-game show, but let's try to squeeze in some of Jeff Blashill's post-game press conference and hear what Jeff had to say after this loss.
Couldn't have been a pretty sight from your eyes either.
Couldn't have been a pretty sight. You know, when you get scored on right away, that's a bit of a gut punch. I don't know if I'd classify it as bad as you thought, to be honest with you. You know, you go through the 2 periods, there would have been not much. We didn't give much up at all in the second at all until the last 5 minutes or so. I thought we had chances in the first that we didn't convert on, and they converted. And so then the score is what the score is, and we're chasing it, and, you know, we're trying to find a way to score. I thought we came out. I was really proud of our guys in the third. You know, what I was looking for more than anything else, like, I want guys that have great heart and great compete, and they showed that in the third. And you can say to me, well, you know, they're sitting on a lead, it was 3-0, it wasn't 10-0. And I thought we showed great, great heart and compete there, and it's a hard league, and we'll just keep grinding.
What adjustments, if any, did he make without Connor? How did they go?
Well, I can't say we made any real adjustments from a you know, kind of tactical standpoint. It's the same systems. You know, you plug in different guys in there. So it's not really a tactically adjusting thing. It's more, you know, we're going to keep looking at our game and find ways to improve our game, but we would do that with or without Connor in the lineup.
What do you think of Nick?
I thought Lardis played good. You know, I thought actually in the first, that line had a lot of juice. They seemed like they had a lot of jump, and they created some opportunities, and they got good young legs, and I thought Lardis played good. He played good on the power play. You know, he looked like he had a couple looks that had a chance to go in, and if they go in, maybe it's a different game at that point, you know. So he's a talented young player.
How do you overall, deal with the loss of Connor if it goes on for another week or two? Just, like, how does a team get through this?
Well, there's probably 2 things that have to happen. Like, anytime you lose a player, anybody, you guys have to, you know, how much you feel that loss depends on how well the guys that are in the lineup play. Like, that's just reality. Obviously, Connor's been a great player for us. He's been our you know, go-to guy for us. There's zero doubt about that. So the 2 probably big things is guys are going to be thrust into more important roles in some way, whether it's the same role you've had but it gets magnified more, whether it's, you know, moving up into a spot, whatever it might be. As a whole group, we just need guys to step up and play You know, we need them to play as close to their A game as possible on a nightly basis. And then I also think, and this is, you know, when you lose some of that scoring punch that Connor gives us, I think it should heighten our awareness of how good we're going to have to be defensively. And it doesn't mean that we're going to just defend, but you're going to have to, you're losing some of that scoring punch. You know, Connor's a guy that can change the game on one shot. And so you lost that in your lineup. So then let's find ways to make sure that our details are great defensively. And so if anything, it should just heighten our awareness that, you know, and this is stuff that we want to get better at anyways. It just, it's, you know, probably makes it even more important right now.
All right, that was Blackhawks head coach Jeff Blashill. It sounds like Connor Bedard had an MRI in his shoulder today. Hawks are scheduled to have an off day tomorrow, so we'll know more on Bedard's status on Monday after practice when they before they travel to Toronto. So stay tuned for that.